Hi there. Welcome to Take the Stage, the podcast for speakers on the speaking life. We're going to dive into what it means to run a speaker business, how to get booked, how to keep your records, how to create messages that matter and make a difference. I'm Mary Snyder. I'm your host. I'm so excited you're here, and I'm here to help you take the stage. Hey, everybody. Happy Monday. I am so excited about today. Lisa Turker sat down with me, and y'all, the wisdom that she has to share, get ready. Get ready. I always talk about the power of a small audience. Lisa brings the power of a small audience alive. And she also tells you a story about lip liner and eyeliner. So both are great pieces of wisdom. You're not going to want to miss this. Enjoy. Lisa Turkhurst, I am so excited you're here with me today. Thank you so much for coming.
Well, anytime I get an opportunity to talk to my friend Mary Snyder, I feel like it is a great day. I would not miss this opportunity. You're one of my favorite people, and I'm so grateful for you.
You are so kind. As I was planning for this and processing and talking to the Lord this morning, I always have a little prayer time and think about the person I'm going to be talking with. And I went back to when we met, and I don't know if you remember this, but we met on a cruise ship the very first time.
Remind me, because you know what? Was it one of the girlfriend cruises? Like
yes.
A girlfriend getaway?
It was a girlfriend getaway. And you were sitting, I believe it was with Sherry Brandel. And I don't know who else was there, but I remember visiting and we just chatted for a little bit. And I think, you know, then our paths crossed through the years.
Well, we'll just chalk it up to good memories and good foreshadowing that we need to do another cruise. That's what I'm saying.
Hey, yes, I'm totally all in. I'm totally all in. Well, listen, I'm so excited you're here because everybody that I know loves you. What I love is that you have been a speaker for a while. So Lisa, the very first thing I want to ask is, when did you start speaking and why? Why did you decide this was the path you wanted to take?
Well, that's a great question, Mary. And I wish I had some like big epic answer that, you know, I saw writing in the sky and I just knew that this was my calling for life. But That really isn't the case for me because I kind of stumbled into ministry. And what I mean by that is my degree is in sociological research, which is kind of a strange name for what became marketing, but, you know, kind of studying why people do what they do when they do it. And so that was my degree. When I graduated college, I got a job. And then when I met my husband, and we got pregnant with our first baby, well, we got married, then got pregnant very quickly. And then I decided to be a stay-at-home mom. And there was just this tug for me to do something with my education in addition to being my mom. I just wasn't, you know, to being a mom, I just wasn't sure what. And I met a friend that had started a newsletter called Proverbs 31. And so I helped her do marketing for that newsletter. And that small little newsletter eventually started turning into Proverbs 31 Ministries. And people started asking me to speak. Now, when I tell you I stumbled into ministry, you know, I had this real profound moment after being in the ministry for a little while, doing the marketing, doing the behind the scenes stuff where I sat the team down and I just said, you know, I never want to speak. I never want to write. I don't ever want to teach. I want to be in the background. And the reason I said that was not because of stage fright, but it was because of Bible fright. And what I mean by that is I started recognizing that I knew facts about God, but I wasn't really sure I had a relationship with God. And so it took several years of being around people who I watched what it really meant to have a relationship with God that I finally surrendered my heart to the Lord. And so it took a little while for me to feel like, number one, I wanted to feel like I belonged there. So eventually I felt like I belonged, but then too, I was terrified. I mean, I still had to use the table of contents. I didn't know where books of the Bible were. And so when I did start speaking, because I was just getting requests for people to, you know, have me come and speak, it was very topical in nature. Right. And so it was topics that I was familiar with. But because it was a church, my idea of a good message was 3 points, a poem, and a Bible verse. Make them laugh, make them cry. And that's it. Like, that was my idea of a message. And so it's really quite ironic that now, you know, one of my greatest passions in life is teaching the Bible.
That's what I was, as you were talking, I was like, but this is the woman who you're all about biblical literacy. You teach the Bible. And, but isn't that God, that he would take a woman who didn't have that skill set, and over many years, you've just grown into this incredible biblical teacher who, and listeners, if you've never heard Lisa, and I know you probably have, but when she teaches the Bible, it is, you teach in such a storytelling fashion, it just comes alive. I'm a huge, huge fan of Lisa's Bible teaching. So Lisa, I love that story. I really do. That's awesome. That's such a but God story. Okay. Mm. So you've been doing this for a while, and I would love to hear about maybe one of those first opportunities you got to speak, something that, you know, maybe funny, poignant, because there's so many. You've been speaking for a long time, so you've got all the stories. Something that just stands out in your mind from one of those earliest of days.
Well, I mean, certainly there's funny stories that, like, dance on that edge of complete humiliation stories, you know. So I think probably one of the funniest stories, I'll tell you a funny story, and then I'll tell you just the, like, wow, did I ever see God move story.
Yes.
So one of the funny stories is when my kids were very young, and I have 5 kids. So you can imagine what the afternoons were like. And I remember I'd gotten invited to come to speak at a little Bible study that started at 6 p.m. and it was like 45 minutes from my house. And so afternoons and getting homework and dinner and all that stuff was already crazy enough. But now, on top of all of that, I was having to get ready to go do the speaking engagement. And one of my girls had gotten into my makeup, and I couldn't find my eyeliner, and I couldn't, and it was just like so chaotic that I was in my car driving to the speaking engagement, trying to put my makeup on, realizing I don't have any eyeliner. Now, today I would just say, not meant to be, I'm not wearing eyeliner. But for some reason in my mind, I had this thought, like, every speaker I've ever seen has their makeup done really, really well. So this is not going to work. But I thought, I'm very resourceful. So what can I use as eyeliner? And I had lip liner that kind of looked a little bit purplish, you know, kind of like a plum color. And I thought, you know, I think I can make this work. So my plan was to put this eyeliner on and then maybe put some eyeshadow on top of it. And it would kind of just, like, I just hoped for the best. Well, it was shady where I was driving and the sun was going down. So I couldn't see, like, it wasn't real bright light in the van, the little minivan I was driving. And so when I checked my reflection, I thought, yeah, that looks fine. I mean, it definitely didn't look like eyeliner, but I just thought, that'll work for sure. Nobody will notice. Well, what I didn't realize is that when I put that lip liner on my eyes, it actually, in the bright sunlight, looked very red.
Oh, no.
And when I walked into the church, everybody was looking at me, and I could tell something was wrong. You know, when people smile at you, but you just know, like, they're smiling on the outside, but there's a whole lot of thought going on in the inside. And I don't think it's good. And I do think it's about me. So I remember thinking, something's wrong. And so I went to the bathroom. Mary, my eyes were like the bride of Satan. I mean, they they were not just lined, but I mean, I must have gone over it like six times. I don't know what I was thinking. And here's the thing, lip liner stains. So I could not, I mean, I had red eyes for like 3 days. I mean, I had to get up and speak. And you know, everybody in that church probably talks to this day about the time the Turkers came to their church and had red eyeliner. I mean, that just doesn't even sound biblical. You know what I mean? So, yeah, so that was one time that quite embarrassing. But a heart-touching time is, and this is another time where I probably drove 2 hours to go speak at this little Bible study that had like six women there, you know, and for a potted plant. And I was so thrilled to have the opportunity to do it. I mean, it was just so, so awesome. But the day before I was going, the lady called me and said, Lisa, instead of the message that we talked about, we really want you to share your testimony. And I just remember thinking, that would be an absolute no, because, you know, I felt like the most important thing I could do as a speaker would be to give all this great information and impress my audience so they would have confidence in my message. Mm-hmm. But what I know now is that people don't come to speaking engagements to be impressed. Mm. As a matter of fact, if you try to impress them, you actually wind up intimidating them, and it's a lose-lose situation for everyone. They don't connect or relate to most of your successes. Most people connect most deeply with a speaker when a speaker shares their failures, because we all have that in common.
Yes.
And it's not that we want to just share a failure and then that's it, you know, but we want to make that the entry point, because we want people to lean in. And people have to know that when we are sharing a message, they have to know that we've actually struggled with the very thing that we're teaching on, or they will not believe that the advice we have could work for them, because they'll start to in their brain say, oh, that's nice for you, but that would probably never work for me.
Right.
But if they know that you've struggled like they've struggled, and you've hurt like they've hurt, and you've been through the valleys like they've been through the valley, it doesn't have to be the same circumstances. But when they know that you've experienced deep pain, they trust your teaching a whole lot more, because they can believe that maybe if this worked for you in your time of suffering or hardship or pain or questioning or whatever the circumstance was, then maybe this that you're teaching them will actually work for them. So I remember this lady said, you know, will you share your testimony? And I was like, oh no, I'm not doing that. But as I drove to the speaking engagement, the Lord really grabbed a hold of my heart and said, you are going to share your story, Lisa. Mm-hmm. And like, this is a real pivotal moment. Are you going to be obedient to me or not? And I just remember thinking, I do not know that this is the Lord speaking to me. I mean, what if it is just my own thoughts? And then I get up there and I share my story and they like throw rocks at me and demand that I never, ever walk into another church again, you know, because I was so terrified of my story. There was so much shame in my story, because part of my story in my early 20s, before I knew the Lord, was I'd gotten pregnant out of wedlock, and I made the very, very tragic, difficult decision to have an abortion. And I was so bound up in shame over that.
Yeah.
I mean, I was terrified for, once I became a Christian, I was terrified for anyone to know that about me, because I very quickly picked up on the fact that, you know, people in church have very strong opinions about this, and I've done that, and I can never tell them. And so when that lady asked me to share my testimony, I was just unwell, and I told her no. And then the Lord started speaking to me as I was driving to that speaking engagement and just said, this is a really important moment. I need to know, are you going to be obedient to me or not? And I wasn't sure if it was the Lord. I was scared. So I remember I walked in, there were six people at the speaking engagement. They were sitting in a little half semicircle, and it was in the basement of a church. And I remember my heart felt like it was about to explode. I walked up to sit at the head of the little half semicircle, and I opened my mouth and I knew I was going to share my story. And so I looked down the entire time. I would not look up. I would not look at those six women. And my thought was, I'm just going to share the story really quick. It's going to be awful. It's going to be painful. They're going to be shocked. They are going to kick me out of church. And all I can say is, I just hope that God somehow rescues me, because I don't know what's going to happen here. But Mary, after I got to the point where I like got through my story, and I just had like two sentences after my story where, and yet God still loves me and he has forgiven me. And I don't know if any of you are sitting here today feeling as much shame in your story as I felt about, as I do about mine, but I just want you to know that's why Jesus came to set us free, and that the shame that we feel is not from God. And I looked up, and Mary, I was shocked by what I saw. All six of those women were nodding their heads saying, me too, me too, me too, me too, me too, wow. me too. And, you know, when I think about, that was such a small speaking engagement. And I think in the grand scheme of all that I've done in ministry, I still point to, I think that was one of the most important times that I was obedient to God. And I don't want to think about where I would be today if I would not have been obedient to God. And I'm so grateful. And you know what the greatest thing about that day was?
What?
That I started to feel more healed than ever when I saw God take what I thought was the worst thing of my life, and that I thought I would never be free of this shame. But when I saw God take the worst thing of my life and use it for good, and I saw hope spring back to life in all six of those women, wow. I was the one that was so profoundly healed that day, but so were those women.
Wow. Lisa, you know, I really want the listeners, because that is, so, you know, I've never heard you tell that story, and I've heard you tell a lot of stories. That is so powerful. And I want to pause on it for a second and just say, you went to a speaking engagement where there were six people, six, because I know there are people within the sound of my voice right now that they want to be on the stage like you, where there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. And you've been on those stages. But I want them to listen and really soak up how important those six women were. That's incredible. Because sometimes we often, as speakers, equate the number of people in the audience with the impact of ministry, and it's not the case.
That's right, Mary. You know, one thing that I have started to teach the, especially the young girls in my ministry, that, you know, they're wide-eyed and, you know, so excited, and they it just seems like they wake up every day and they're like, we want to go change the world. And I will often tell them, remember this, that what is big here on earth will be small in heaven. And what is small here on earth will be big in heaven. Yeah. So everything, I believe, when we get to eternity, those things that we felt were so big and so epic here on earth, I don't think that those are going to be the big things when we get to heaven. I think it's going to be those small moments of obedience where there was no applause, where there was no spotlight, where there was not even hardly anybody benefit, but just this one person in front of you.
Yeah.
And you love that person for no other reason than God said, love them. and you did it. And I think those are the moments when we get to heaven that God goes, yeah, all that other stuff, you know, we can talk about that later. But let's talk about that one moment where you stopped and you noticed and you gave and you loved and you smiled. Mm. Let's talk about that moment. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done.
Yeah, that's so good. Lisa, that exactly. And I thank you for sharing that, because I think it's so important for those of us in the speaking ministry to remind ourselves of that regularly, that it is about the one, not about the 100s or the 1000s. Typically, right here, I ask what Lisa today would tell Lisa of those days. I think the first thing Lisa would say is, don't use your lipstick liner for eyeliner. I think that's the first thing she would say. Because, I mean, as you're saying that,
lip liner is not the new eyeliner. Let's just get that straight.
And I guess, I mean, the visual on that, don't you just love and hate an equal parts that you don't have a picture of that?
You know, Mary, I am not sure if there's a picture of that or not, but let's just pretend that there absolutely isn't a picture of that ever.
Because can you imagine that being today? Because, you know, somebody would post that on Instagram and tag you in it. I don't know what Lisa Turkos was thinking, but...
Yes. Well, she wasn't. I mean, she was in mom fog, you know, but you know what picture does exist was what? 2 years ago when I was releasing my book, It's Not Supposed to Be This Way. Mm-hmm. And I was doing back-to-back interviews. And I got up really early one morning. I had a couple of podcast interviews that are like what we're doing today. It's just audio, you know, you mm-hmm. can't see me. Right. And then there was an interview with Fox News. And I assumed, and as a matter of fact, I think it even said on the call sheet, audio only, but I was doing it through the computer. And all of a sudden the producer said, okay, Lisa, we go live in 5 minutes. Can you turn your camera on? And I was like, well, I said, my sheet here says audio only. And he was like, okay, let me check. Well, when he came back, I fully expected him to go, you're right, the call sheet says audio only, but he didn't. He said, no, actually, so we need to turn your camera on because we go live in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh, no.
Well, I had no time. Mary, I had not brushed my hair. I had not brushed my teeth. I did not have undergarments on. I had a t-shirt on that says Merle's Inlet, South Carolina, with out undergarments. You know what I'm saying?
I hear what you're
saying. I had not a lick of makeup on. I didn't even have any chapstick. So I grabbed a sweater just because I didn't want to be that girl, you know, on the national TV. And it was national. It wasn't like it was this local thing. Mary, when the newscaster came on, it was a split screen on Fox national TV. She had been in a hair and makeup chair. She had on a power suit. Her hair was done. Her makeup was done. It was amazing. And underneath my name, it said, Lisa Turkos just wrote a book on disappointment. And I thought, well, is that not just ironic? Because people are going to go, bless her heart, look at her. So I screenshot it and I put it on Instagram because I was like, well, I don't know how y'all's day is going, but this about sums up my life right about now. And it was hilarious. And people loved it because, again, remember, I mean, those are the moments that people relate to. We all have commonality in our human struggle. And that's where we can connect. You know, I always say we can be divided on issues. We can be divided and have differing opinions on politics and theology and therapy and all the stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But we are so very united in our tears. I think that if there was one piece of advice that I would give to people who are wanting to speak or who are wanting to take their speaking to the next level, I would say care about the one. When you stand up in front of a crowd, don't speak to a crowd. Speak to the individual. Care about that one. And remember, they need to know more than you teaching them anything. They need to know that you see them, that you care about them, and that you get them. And we can only connect with that person that's hurting, that needs so much to be seen and heard and known and connected with. We can only connect with them through the power of our own struggles. And that really, really is the secret sauce to effective speaking.
It so is. And listen, listeners, Lisa has, first of all, there's She Speaks, which I know doesn't happen until July. Is that right? July of next year, or is it June? It's the summer.
That's right. Well, actually, I believe this year we're moving the conference up a little bit. So it'll either be in late June or early July, but you can always find out more information. Go to my Instagram, Lisa Turkhurst, and I post about the things that I'm doing either on my feed or on my stories, or you can always go to proverbs31.org.
Yes, and I will have all of that in show notes. And I encourage anyone who wants to be a speaker is a speaker. And if I'm not mistaken, and I will double check this, y'all, but I believe you can still purchase this last season's downloads and things like that. But I'll confirm that, Lisa, and make
that's
sure.
Right. And you can just put a link straight to that. And there are some great sessions. And you know, this past year we did our conference virtually. And we had 2,200 participants from all 50 states and 25 different countries.
That just blows me away. And you have Compel training, and you just launched the Book Proposal Boot Camp, and you've got more stuff coming. So I'll make sure we have links to everything. And if listeners, if you're not currently following Lisa, she is fun to follow. She has got, there's some dancing, and then there's some exercising, and then there's some Bible teaching. There's a party. There's
you just
always a
never know. You never know what you are going to get into with me and my crazy crew. But you know, I'm so grateful, and I just, you know, I'm all about let's just do life together and not make it awkward or weird trying to impress one another. But let's just do life together, and let's be honest about our struggles. Let's celebrate our wins together. And let's recognize that every single person has celebration and sorrow that coexist in their heart. And let's just be tender and loving and kind to one another while we live out truth.
And you have a new book coming out in just a few weeks.
I sure do. It's called Forgiving What You Can't Forget. Yeah. And Mary, I'll say this book simultaneously almost killed me and saved me all at the same time. Wow. I did not want to write on forgiveness because when I started studying it, and I did over 1,000 hours of studying the topic of forgiveness in the Bible. And when I started studying it, I realized, wow, I am actually way more resistant to forgiving than I ever knew. And I was really on a hunt. Surely there's got to be exceptions. I mean, surely there's got to be exceptions because, you know, when you say the word forgiveness, people often attach the deepest hurts that they've walked through to a situation where forgiveness or the command to forgive comes up. And so I understand people cross their arms, they back up, they say it's too soon to forgive until we say it's too late to forgive. And so there just never seems to be quite that perfect moment for forgiveness. So I'm gut honest in this book about my own struggles. We start not with the command to forgive, but we start with the pain that we've experienced and why the resistance is there. And we navigate through that. And really, the big turning point in the book is when I get to the place where I have to say to myself and I say to my reader, you deserve to stop suffering because of what other people have done to you. And that's at that point where we can be empowered to forgive. And it's as much for ourselves to keep our hearts swept clean as it ever is about anyone else.
Wow. Lisa, I, at this point, typically always ask this question, but I think you may have just answered it. I typically ask, if you are in front of an arena, you're in front of thousands of people, what is the message of your heart? But I think we may have just heard it.
Absolutely. I would say in this season, the message of my heart is just that you deserve to stop suffering because of what other people have done to you. And the very best time to forgive is before we're ever offended, but the next best time is right now.
Wow. Lisa, thank you so much. You are such a fount of so much fun, so much knowledge. Just, I adore your stories. Is there any, I just want to leave this open and just to ask if there's anything else you'd like to share before we say goodbye.
Well, I would just say, remember, you don't have to have a big stage, a spotlight, and a microphone to be effectively used by God. I mean, Amen. You know, I think the very best speakers in the world probably will never pick up a microphone because those are the people that are living the greatest messages using words if only necessary. And we live in a society today, especially through social media, that people are watching, and we don't have to have a microphone. We don't have to have a suit. We don't have to have hose. Thank goodness those are no longer in style. You know, we don't have to have this massive platform. Mm-hmm. We don't have to have a big audience. You know, every single day we can open up our mouth and encourage somebody, and we are effectively fulfilling our mission in doing that. And that is to love God and love people.
Oh, Lisa, you're so wonderful. Thank you so much for being here. You're amazing.
And absolutely.
I'll make sure everybody, all the links are in show notes, and everybody knows how to reach you and link to the new book and everything. Thanks again.
Thanks so much, Mary. Love you, friend.
Love you too. Wow. What a powerful conversation with Lisa. One of the most pivotal moments in her speaking career happened when she was speaking before a crowd of six people. Let's continue the conversation. Come on over and join me on Facebook. We have a Facebook group. It's all about speakers, for speakers, by speakers. We do a Monday challenge where I put a challenge out there for you, and I want to help you grow your speaking career. I want to help you take the stage. So join me, and if you have trouble finding it, just head over to takethestagepodcast.com. Shoot me an email. I'll make sure we connect. Again, until next week, let's continue the conversation and let me help you take the stage. Have a great day.